The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Good morning, Dartfish friends, and welcome to a special edition of Spin the Rally Pod with myself, Colin Clark, and
David Evans. And it's only morning here. It's not morning there.
Yes. Where are we? You know, we are in Dartfish HQ, and David, it's great to be back here. We were here for the first time a few weeks ago, but it is great to be back here.
You were here for the first time.
Correct.
I'd been fortunate enough to be before.
You've got a very squeaky chair, David, which I'm sure people are hearing.
We are surrounded by lots of naked people as well.
Yeah.
We're in what's called the media room, which has got some amazing buttons and switches that we'd never understand what to do, but also some mannequins.
It's quite appropriate because we pretend to be media people, don't we? To be in the media room.
We'll put some pictures on socials, some very nice pictures in here.
Anyway, David, there's a very good reason why we are recording this special edition of Spin the Rally Pod. Breaking news this morning, or today, shall we say, in relation to Hyundai and Andrea Adamo.
Yeah, Andrea Adamo has gone. He has left the building with immediate effect. So team principal there for 3 years, 6 years, of course, in Hyundai, 3 years before at Customer Racing. He's gone.
And I think that's a very important point you make there. He has gone. He wasn't sacked. He has gone.
It said the release, the communication from the team stated with immediate effect. I have to say, I read that, and you know, we're fortunate that we know Andrea very well, and we've spoken to him since the news broke. And when you read that, those words with immediate effect, you know, it's a football manager thing, isn't it? It's almost that, you know, he's been sacked.
Someone being escorted out the door is what it sounds like.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
We have to be 100% clear here. He has not been sacked.
No.
It's a mutual decision. He for his own reasons, which are entirely valid, and we're not going to go into those reasons here, he's left. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You know, people, and it is frustrating. You know, you spend a lot more time on social media than I do.
Too much time, and, David. Right.
But, you know, already I'm sure there's 100 million people have got a very good reason about why Andrea Adamo's gone, why they think he's been sacked, and blah, blah, blah. He hasn't. He's gone. It was his decision. If he wanted to, he'd still be there.
Correct.
Move on.
Absolutely move on. Move on and I think reflect.
Yeah.
Reflect on what Andrea Adamo has done, not just for Hyundai, but for the World Rally Championship and rallying in general. You know, he was an absolute breath of fresh air. He came in, I think it was the end of 2014, 2015. And I remember sitting. So I think they were launching the new version of the i20 WRC. Mm. So it was before the new 2017 car. And I'd been asked to go along to Alzenau to help host that launch. And we were sitting in the offices next to them. The offices are right next to the factory floor, and the presentation was on the factory floor. And I was talking to a gentleman called Andrew Johns. Now, Andrew Johns used to work at ProDrive, and he'd just started that week. He'd come across to look after the Hyundai program. And I was sitting at the desk. Andrew was at the desk. And sitting in the corner was this character. And he was sitting, he was at a round table. He had his back to the wall, so he was looking out across the whole office. And I had no idea who he was at the time. And Andrew was telling me, yeah, I've just started. And I was saying, who are you working for? I'm working for that gentleman there, Andrea Adamo. And I looked across, and he had this glare and this look on his face. And instantly I thought, you poor bugger, Andrew. That gentleman looks hard as nails. And you know what? It was a first impression. And in some ways it was a correct first impression, because he is hard as nails. Mm. And he's proved to be hard as nails over the years. But he's also got, you know, a very lovely side to him. He's a massive, massive rally fan. He appreciates honest rally people. And he tells it as it is. And do you know what? We hadn't had enough of that in rallying over the years.
Well, there's no doubt he's a massive character. And, you know, some of in the last 3 years, some of the best conversations that we've had haven't been about Hyundai at all. They've been about his time with Lancia.
Absolutely.
And, well, you know, he's worked with Honda in touring cars and Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
And just his memories. And also the memories of you know, him as a child growing up, watching the Monte Carlo rally, listening to it from underneath his duvet and blah, blah, blah. An amazing guy, and just really, you know, an absolute bobble hatter. Somebody who lives and breathes this sport, and unashamedly lives and breathes it as well. And you're right, he was, from that aspect, he has been a massive breath of fresh air. But also, for me, just everything was really comfortable. You know, before Andrea Adamo, we had Michel Nondon, one of the nicest people in rallying, and you know, a guy with massive amounts of success. Let's, you know, you look at what he did with Peugeot, incredible ability that the guy's got, from what he did with the 206, 206, wasn't it, the World Rally Car?
Yeah,
and of course
the
205 before that. But then let's not mention the Suzuki, which really wasn't his fault. That was a complete side issue.
I'd forgotten about that.
But it was all very cosy between the team principals. You'd see them; they'd go to the end of leg press conferences, all with their arms around each other, congratulating each other, all very. And then this bloke arrived. This, as you say, you know, this hard as nails kind of character, landed into the service park, banged his fist on the metaphorical desk, and changed everything. And has done for 3 years. What I'm really conscious of, Cole, here is that we're talking about a guy who has left his current position for his own reasons. You know, we don't want this to sound like an obituary or anything. It's very easy to go down that road. You know, he's going on to do his own thing, whatever. You know, we need to remember that he's still around, and you know he's going to be around.
Well, I think I think it's worth reflecting on you know, his time in the WRC, because it was
absolutely
so different, and he did achieve tremendous levels of success. Remember, you know, the years that Hyundai invested in the WRC before Adamo arrived on the scene cost hundreds of millions, and to be fair, they underachieved. And,
but, I mean,
and
Nandon was five years.
Yeah, and Nandon was a lovely guy, and you know, Thierry Neuville was runner up in the championship. Didn't win a world championship, and you know, and Adamo came along, and with his, you know, the world, and he keeps reminding me of it. You know, I called him ruthless, and you know, he does have two or three different sides to him. And one of those sides is a ruthless side. He will make ruthless decisions. You know, decisions that suit his employer, you know, and if he has to make difficult ones, he does it, you know, and we weren't kind of used to that in the WRC.
But that's my point. It was all really cosy, and then suddenly he came in, and, you know, remember Portugal in 19 when he decided to move the position. People hadn't done that for so long. And then suddenly, Sordo was moved around, and we had that tremendous... was Sebastian Ogier in the press conference at the end. That, you know, said this lovely man, Andrea Adamo, decides to do this and was really scathing about him. We just hadn't seen that. We hadn't seen that style of team management for so long. And, you know, I wrote a piece this morning about him. And you look back to the greats of Cesare Fiorio, and you know, there's this incredible story about Fiorio when he was trying to tell Marco Alen, I think in Argentina or somewhere, to slow down. And Alen was having none of it. He wasn't going to slow down and let Biasi on win. So Fiorio, I think the story goes, landed the helicopter in the middle of the stage to stop him. And you could well imagine that, you know, were Andrea Adamo to have a helicopter at his disposal and he wanted to implement such a policy, he would have no worries about doing exactly the same.
And you know what? You know, it's because he very much asserted himself as the boss. And there are some big, big characters and big egos around rallying, and we know that. You know, and to be fair, he's dealt with some of the biggest in his time at Hyundai, you know, Tanak, Loeb, Neuville, you know, some of the biggest names in the sport. And he's very much been the boss.
I thought when he came in, you know, I remember vividly, start of 19 in Autosport show. We sat down and congratulations, Andrea, you know, great to see you here. And, you know, any changes? And he said, yeah, the change is you won't talk to anybody else.
That's right.
You'll talk to me.
Yeah.
And I laughed and And he said, no, seriously, David, you will talk to me. You will not pick up the phone and talk to anybody else. And I did. Of course I did. I lifted the phone to everybody, and everybody was incredibly nervous and didn't... Suddenly, Alain Panas and all of these people didn't want to be quoted. And I thought, give it 6 months. It'll change. It'll soon change. He'll get tired of it. For 3 years, he has locked that team down and not allowed anybody. And there's aspects of our media that hate that. And it does make the job incredibly difficult. But what it also does, it protects everybody in that team. Because
which is entirely his aim
desire.
With that.
Yeah, he stood up and he said, it's me.
Yeah.
If you have a problem, if the car breaks down, it's me. It's on me.
Case in point, David, is the suspension. We have as yet to get to the bottom of the suspension issues that cost him a driver's title this year, potentially. With
the power steering problem.
We really don't know. And as you say, it's not because... he wants to be the one that's in the limelight and answering the questions. It's because it's a strategy to protect his team, his engineers, and to deflect the negativity away from them, and it's worked.
It totally worked. It did. Absolutely, by extension, it placed him very firmly in the spotlight, where he did appear to be quite comfortable. Let's be honest. He is a guy. He's a super charismatic fella that gave us and still gives us these incredible quotes. We came out of Monza where he was expecting to make a phone call to Jennifer Aniston. Where else do you get that kind of goal? He was brilliant. The one thing, there are people that have struggled with him in the media, people who've kind of rubbed up against him the wrong way. And the one thing I would say, and I learned this really quickly with Andrea, is you have to be on your A game when you go to. There are drivers historically in our careers, the likes of Carlos Sainz, of Colin McRae, of Richard Burns. If you ask them a stupid question, forget it. You were out of there, and you may not be spoken to again for the rest of that day or even tomorrow. Andrea was the same, and I've missed that. I've missed that because in all of that coziness that we've had in the WRC, it becomes easy. You become quite relaxed in the way that you ask questions, and you need to sharpen your weapon when you go into these interviews. And you had to go in there. It was combative. Every time you went in there, you had to have two or three questions in your mind because you knew you could bat the first one away, so bring on the second one. It made you think.
And I love that. I love that about
absolutely. But there are people in our job who have come into this time only in that cozy time, and it really ruffled some feathers.
But I kind of got where he was coming from, and I was as guilty as anyone at times.
He was giving you his time. Don't waste it.
Absolutely. And he, much as I would say Andrea was a friend of mine, he didn't cut me any slack.
No.
And it really did keep you on your toes, as you say. But if one of his drivers has crashed and it's cost him a rally win, and you ask him how he's feeling, what do you expect? I mean, what a ridiculous question. And he was asked those types of questions
far
too often. And there are other team bosses and there are drivers who, almost out of politeness, will answer that sort of question.
Andrea didn't
have the time for it. You want to ask me a question about, how it happened or the consequences of what's happened? Fine, I'll do my best to answer those. But don't ask me a question like that. And you would never, ever, ever ask him a question that could elicit a yes or no answer, because he would give a yes or no answer. You could have a series of three or four yes or no answers. He will be missed. He will be missed around the service park. He will be very much missed around the service park.
He also won't be missed. There are those people.
I am sure.
He's not a friend to everybody.
No.
As we've said, he has rubbed people up the wrong way, and there will be people in various other teams, drivers, senior personnel in both the governing body and the promoter that will be glad to see the back of him. But
anyone that asks questions that's not always prepared to toe the line and that's a little bit inquisitive in their ways is very often seen as a threat. And I think a lot of people saw Adamo as a bit of a threat because he didn't just accept the line.
He didn't. The classic case again was when we were in Munich in September. We went and it was a really a great initiative from the promoter to bring people together. All of the teams came together. Some journalists were there. We were all in the beautiful building, the promoter's new offices. And we talked about the future, about 2022. It was incredibly useful. We had people from all aspects to explain the sustainable fuel, how hybrid was working. And there was a question to him, how excited are you, or something like that, about the future. And he said, well, it's not really my job to be excited. It's your job to be excited, as in the promoter's job to be excited. And it's dead right. The promoter has to create the excitement. But, Andrea was not a puppet that you could pick up and say, right, now tell the world how excited you are. He was having none of that. He was very much in the middle of an absolute fight to get the car built. And as we've seen subsequently, that fight is far greater than we actually thought, because, you know, they didn't actually have the real car ready there. And now...
But, you know, the promoter will miss that, because much as he probably did rub the promoter up the wrong way occasionally, and for sure he rubbed the FIA up the wrong way, you know, he kept the sport in the limelight.
Oh, you mean great entertainment.
In the spotlight, even, not the limelight, in the spotlight.
Yeah.
He was entertainment, and at the end of the day, we must never, ever forget that our sport is about entertainment, and my goodness, he has been the most entertaining character in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. But more than that, he was, in my view, he was very much an innovator, and he was a man that didn't just accept what's always been done this way, so we'll continue to do it that way. And for me, one of his biggest legacy this year, not a legacy, but the most interesting thing that he did was this test, the simulated rally. You know, how many other bosses, how many other teams over the years have come out with something as innovative as that? And it was, you look back and you think, well, it was so obvious, it was such an obvious thing to do, but it's never happened before, and there was so much came out of that. You know, it was Adamo himself who insisted that the media came along. Mm. You know, his PR department were like, well, how do we keep this secret? How do we keep this quiet? And Adamo was like, no, we bring them along. They didn't just bring us along. We were right in the heart of their service.
But subsequently, it all makes sense, because what you were seeing was actually nothing compared to what we were seeing.
Well, nothing as in the look of the car. Everything else was as it's going to be.
No, it wasn't, was it? Because he said everything except for the wheel rims was new.
Yeah, it was the engine new, and the whole charging system
new,
and all the
hybrid
system.
The hybrid in the engine.
Yeah. But anyway, whatever way, you know, he invited us along. He was very open with us all, and it was something very, very different. And I think that was a mark of really what Adam was about. But if we move on from there, David.
But he got it, didn't he? You
know, he did get it. Of course
he did. Look back 12 months, you know, when we were in the middle of lockdown and June, July time, there were no rallies going on at all. So he lifted the phone to us and said, come to Alba.
Yeah.
You know, Alba organisers will help you. They'll just come along. And we spent a week after Rome and Alba with Hyundai, with him, and it was incredible. You know, he understood that at that time there wasn't an awful lot to write about because there were no WRC rounds, so he helped make news.
Just moving things on a little bit, David, a successor, you know, it's very, very important that, you know, I suppose a successor is put in place as quickly as possible, because, you know, this is the most critical time for Hyundai. We've had Thierry Neuville with this enormous crash, the one and only test car they've got completely written off.
Yeah,
you've got obviously the man who's led the team and driven the team for the past 4 years or so has stepped aside. The most important rally in perhaps decades is a matter of weeks away. You know, what do you think about a successor?
I have absolutely no idea. Just because we don't know. There's a whole different aspect of Hyundai in Korea that we don't know. And you know, the other side of this is that Andrea has locked the team down so firmly that you just don't really know. You know, you couldn't get in there, talk to people to find out who a natural successor might be. You know, the obvious one would have been Alain Panas, who was team manager. Whether Alain gets a call now and comes back, I don't know. Whether they go with Korea, that's possible. Whether they go with somebody completely different, it's, you know, if we're honest, we didn't see Andrea Adamo coming 3 years
absolutely
ago.
Absolutely not. Nobody saw that coming.
So I don't know. But one thing is 100% sure is that to try to follow what he's done is going to be very difficult. And I'm sure, you know, to follow his style would be even more difficult. But right now, they need somebody to step in and absolutely be on the money very quickly.
Straight
because,
away.
You know, the loss of this chassis with the Thierry Neuville crash, the fact that they're already way behind, they're already quite a long way behind with the development of the car. They needed that car running now so that they can get development miles down in time for Monte. They were probably going to go to the south of Spain or somewhere to get some, you know, maybe France, Chateau Lestor, somewhere to get some rough rally testing. At the minute, everything's stopped again. They've pressed pause because they're now having to rebuild a new chassis or build a new chassis to go testing with. And what are the knock-on implications for that? You know, the time that they were probably going to be putting into Oit Tanak or Thierry Neuville's Monte chassis, they're now having to put that time into a new test. Everything, there's a real sort of domino effect here. And the thing was absolutely on the limit anyway. And to throw a shunt like that in, you know, Toyota had the crash with Elvin the week before or a couple of weeks before. And we know, yeah, okay, they had to stop the test. It cost Ogier his day in the car. They had to take the car back to Finland. But that was only because they hadn't got any panels.
Mm.
It's a very different thing when you've actually got to create a new chassis.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen the pictures. It looks like a horrendous crash. And you know, thank you, FIA, for all of the incredible work they've done on the safety side. Yes, Martin had a broken, fractured collarbone, but it could have been an awful lot worse. And that safety cell, we've seen it. We've been privileged enough to see the M Sport safety cell. It is incredible. And, you know, one thing that we've really pushed the FIA to do is to give us more access to tell their story of just how amazing these cars are. And that thing, that accident really shows. But it's left them with a heap of work to do.
An unbelievable amount. There was very little wriggle room
there was no wriggle room.
None whatsoever.
There wasn't.
So, David, you know, I think from what you're saying and what we can all see, really important that there is no time for someone to come in and find their feet. They've got to hit the ground running. What does that mean? Does that mean an ex-driver? Does it mean someone with Team Boss experience? Does it mean maybe someone from outside of rallying with motorsport experience?
Exactly. It could be because right now their issue is more logistics, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's twofold. It's the logistics of getting the factory to actually produce these cars in time, but it's also overseeing the development, because, you know, they're still, as I said, they're still in this development stage, which is not where they want to be now. You look at what Toyota and M Sport are doing, they're fine-tuning the cars now towards Monte Carlo. It's why we're seeing the cars in the French Alps at the minute driving there. But still, Hyundai still has a lot of that kind of foundation running in this car to understand how the battery cooling works, you know, when the ambient's a bit higher and when there's dust around, when there's so many uncertainties about the car. So, but the one thing, you know, the one thing that you can be absolutely grateful for if you're a Hyundai fan is that they've got Christian Lorio at the head of the sort of technical department. He knows exactly what is needed to make that car work. Now he just has to find the time. You know, he needs 25, 26, 27 hours in a day to actually build the car and get it running.
Thank goodness they do have Christian Lorio there.
Thank goodness.
You know, he is such a senior, such a senior member of the team with a vast experience at the WRC. But obviously, David, we know, we are speculating, but we do know that they have put temporarily in charge of operations Scott Noh, who's one of the presidents of Hyundai Motorsport. But that has to be a temporary position, I'm sure.
Does it? He's somebody we've seen Scott Noh around WRC for a long time. He's been there. He knows it. He knows the inner workings of the team and the championship. You know, there's not really a precedent, is there, for having, you know, it's usually a European-based team manager in these teams. I don't know. He could be a long-term. Let's see. I was just trying to think of a footballing equivalent of somebody who'd stepped in as a temporary manager that had gone on for a long time. And I can't. I don't really know football terribly well.
No, there have definitely been a few, but they've rarely succeeded.
What's his name? The England manager, wasn't he? Was a temporary fella.
I think Solskjaer was a temporary manager as well.
Yeah, but he's sacked. He's gone.
He was 2 years. That's what I'm saying. They rarely succeeded. You know, there were a number of standing temporary managers who made a good, good effort to get the job full time. But
equally, is that, you know, Scott Noh already has a job to do. You know,
exactly.
He's the link and the bridge over to Korea.
Yeah.
So, you know, to have him in charge of running the team on a day-to-day basis, he won't have time. You know, there's always this natural assumption, isn't there, that within companies, or not natural, but increasingly an assumption, that just give that job to him because obviously he's got the spare capacity to do that. People haven't. You know, people are flat chat anyway. So I don't know. It's going to be an interesting one. But again, on top of everything, on top of trying to build these three cars, three entry cars plus a test car, they've now got to find a replacement to Andrea Adamo. And, you know, in some ways, that, I guess, is the one regret, one of the many regrets that Andrea has that he's leaving the position, is that it does leave them in a little bit of a fix. You know, he's built over 3 years this incredible team that's won two championships out of 3 years. And you know, he has worked tirelessly to look after his people, and now he's kind of exposed them indirectly, you know, that they don't have the leadership. And it's only now that we're really going to see just the absolute strength that he brought to that team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's great when you have the time and when you have the ability to put in place succession plans, but that's not always the case, you know, and it's, you know, when you have a big shake up at the top. It doesn't necessarily always mean that difficult periods and tough times. You know, we look at Toyota. You know, the Tommy Macron situation was a surprise to a lot of us. The Latvala appointment was a massive surprise to nearly all of us.
Yeah, nobody's had more success.
No one's had more success than Latvala. Yeah. So it's not all doom and gloom for Hyundai. That's... Tough times, but tough times are really what test companies. And what we know about the kind of the Korean way and the Korean culture within Hyundai is that it is very much get on, do the job, succeed as
100%.
A team. And as a team, you lose your figurehead, you lose your leader. But as a team, they will continue to perform, and I'm absolutely sure of that. But it is important that they get the right person there, because he is such an enormous character to follow.
It is, and that's one thing that I was going to say, is that, you know, they have got a lot on their plate right now, but if you were going to put a lot on any plate, you'd probably put it on, firstly, M Sports plate, because they're very good at that, but also Hyundai, you know. And it is, like you say, the Korean way is just get on with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it can be done next year, it can be done this year. So do it this year and get on with it now. So there is that ability and that culture within the company to find solutions.
Well, listen, more than anything, I'm going to miss the Adamo hugs. Even in days of COVID, the Adamo hugs were always there.
I remember, I can't remember which event we were going to, but we were in Milan or Rome somewhere, and we were making a connecting flight. And we had just been through the most rigorous checks. Yeah. We'd got about 4 masks on, everything. Yeah. You are not going anywhere. You stand in that queue. And Andrea saw us from over the other side of the airport and literally ran. And we had the biggest hug. And people just stood and like, stared. Oh. What on earth are these two lunatics doing? And you know, that's him. You know, he absolutely wears his heart on his sleeve.
Yeah.
He's a massive character, and he will be missed. In the service part.
No question. Well, Andrea Adamo, we wish you all the very, very best with the future, and we will stay in touch for sure. Folks, you've been
listening. Let's be honest. We hope to see him back.
Oh, absolutely. My goodness.
The service park is going to be a duller place without Jennifer Aniston's telephone number and all of the poor Italian immigrants living in Germany.
Who speak poor English.
Yes.
Calling, there are many ways to slice
don't
the elephant.
Don't do that.
Yeah. We will miss him desperately. But you've been listening to our special edition of Spin the Rally Pod. We'd like to hear your thoughts as well on the departure of Andrea Adamo from Hyundai. So it's at Dirtfish Rally on Twitter, David.
Let's hand that one over to Lise, shall we?
Yeah, let's hand that one over to Lise to wrap up. Lise, it's over to you to wrap up.
Talk about getting a late invite to the party. Thanks, boys. So, Andrea Adamo has left the building. What do you think about that? Let us know at Dirtfish Rally on Twitter. Get in touch. Give us your thoughts. Spin the Rally Pod will be back. We need to finish our review of the year and start our look ahead because, as Colin said, only a matter of weeks now before the 2022 World Rally Championship gets underway in Monte Carlo. So many big changes in store in our sport. So many things to consider and predictions to make before getting them all completely knocked down in the first week of the season. You have been listening to Spin the Rally Pod. We will be back very soon, and make sure you get your edition as soon as it's made by subscribing via dirtfish.com.